Bible, pew Bible, or your personal Bible this morning, turn to Psalm 47. I think it's important for us to remember that 2025 is gone. It's no longer here. And if you were in our church in 2025, that first month or two, it was tumultuous for me. I remember talking to funeral home after funeral home after funeral home, trying to schedule funerals for the month of January and into February. And so I had to remember throughout that year that, God, you are in control. I know you are, but I got to a sense of a feeling in 2025, and I began to question, because I'm honest with our congregation, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect, and have never claimed to be perfect. I'm just an old guy who God called one day a long time ago, said, I need you to preach my word, and I need you to do it. And I ran for a little bit, for a long time. I said, I don't have anything to do with that ministry stuff and being a pastor. That's hard. That's hard work. Let me go do something. For 20 or so years, I ran into the retail world where it really wasn't, you know, it was good. God blessed me very, very much, and I can't say anything about it. And I'm sure I talked to many, many people and hope I made an influence, but it wasn't to play. I tried to find more. After Stacy and I got married, I tried to find more ways to get out of church than to come to church. And that's sad, isn't it? And she finally sat down and told me one day, she said, you're either going to go to church or you're going to get out. Now, I don't know about you, men, but when your wife speaks in a tone from God, you better listen, because they are telling you what's best for you. So I looked at 2026 and I said, what can I talk about these first few weeks of 2026? And I want to talk about joy. Joy. Enjoying God, who God is. And it brought me to this scripture in Psalm 47. These brothers, the Korah brothers, and they were the custodians of the temple, and they were in the temple a lot. But this scripture comes at a time when they were coming back from battle. And these guys wrote 11 psalms, and here's one of them. Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with the cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under his people, under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has ascended amidst shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of the trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over all the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are our Father and you are in heaven and you are victorious. You are gracious and you are awesome. Help us to see the joy that comes from enjoying you. And as I begin to study this week, I want us to remember that God is in control. And it's his name we pray. Amen. So joy is more than just a fleeting emotion. It is a deep, abiding sense of gladness that comes from knowing and trusting God. Now you're like, well, there's a lot of people in the world that seem happy all the time, right? You see them on TV, they're clapping. We were all happy until the last 30 seconds yesterday of the Panthers game, and they scored, the Rams scored that touchdown, right? That fleeting emotion, that joyous time we were having. But you know, joy is rooted in the unchanging character of God and his promises. The Bible shows us that true joy flows from our relationship with Christ, sustained by the Holy Spirit, and is meant to be a defining mark of the Christian life. To begin today, I want you to picture a guy coming into the gates of Jerusalem. In fact, it was not just one guy, it's an entire army. And this is one of the foot soldiers, and as they march into Jerusalem, and it just had a mighty victory. And in that victory, there was a part where the enemy lines had bulged a little bit, and guess what? They saw that, and they attacked that spot. They broke the enemy lines in half and were able to attack them from behind. And they're coming back, and they're jubilant, and they're happy, but also tired and weary from winning this battle. But before this guy decides to have a bite to eat or decides to bathe, he decides to take out his little journal and he begins to write. You're like, man, what was he doing? Why did he just start writing? Because it was that important to him that he stopped in that moment as he came back through those gates. And listen what he writes. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout for joy, or shout to God with jubilant cry, for the Lord Most High is awe and inspiring. After that battle, after the death, after the gore and the things that he saw on that battlefield, he thought it necessary to come back because he understood that God won the battle, not him and not that army. A great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses up for us our inheritance, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. That warrior stops for a second, and guess what? He begins to look through his book, and he sees all of those things he wrote about joy. So what is joy? I had to ask myself that a lot. What is joy? Joy is often visible. You can see it. The verse says, clap your hands, all you peoples. What were they clapping for? They just won a great battle. There are other indications that joy is something you can see. The psalm said, we are to shout to God with a jubilant cry. Verse 5 says, for God is to ascend among shouts of joy. This is not a quiet thing that's going on here. It's something that's exciting. It's something that's overwhelming to this man and to this army as they come back. Joy is partially a feeling. Having joy in this circumstance is something that kind of happened to the sons of Korah. In this sense, happiness and joy are very similar. You could replace one with the other. You could say, man, I'm happier. Man, I'm sure joyful. And they're very much the same thing. I'm happy. I'm a big sports nut. My teams don't win a lot because it's not one around here. This one in the middle of Columbia. They have a women's basketball team, I think. That's about it. But I'm happy when my team wins. I'm joyful when my team wins. Very much the same. But joy is different from happiness. You can have joy when you aren't happy. Do you know that? There's a lot of us that went through a lot of things in 2025. There's a lot of us that are going through things right now that I don't know about, that other people don't know about, that you've kind of got bottled up inside of you, and that's okay. It's like I tell our church a lot, that this church is not a museum. This church is a hospital. This church is a place for broken people to come and hear maybe some hope that they need through in their life and throughout the day. James 1 says this, you can have joy when you aren't happy. James 1 verse 2 through 4 says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, and lacking nothing. When you are unhappy with life, somehow you can count on it or consider it or think about it as joy. Have you ever done that? Your circumstances shouldn't change the joy that's deep inside of you. And you're like, well, I don't know what you're going through. Or you don't know what I'm going through. So how can I be joyful when this happens or when that happens or when I'm having all these things go on in my life? Well, the foundation is in Christ. Your joy comes from the Lord. And even though we go through these times, even though we go through a time, seasons of different emotions and different feelings, God is still our hope, and He is still our joy. I remember, it's been 10 years now, I think. I woke up, and it was during one of those times I just didn't feel like going to church. But I woke up to a phone call at 4 a.m. in the morning. I don't know if you've ever been woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning to a phone call, but it's not very pleasant. And I had learned that Zach was on his way to the hospital. I never was able to speak to Zach again. I was never able to communicate with him ever again. Stacy and I went to Chapel Hill. We sat in that room and they told us there was no hope. And it kind of hits you to the core when your 21-year-old son has had an ATV accident, it's not going to survive. And if he did, it would be on that machine that he was on. It's hard to be happy during that circumstance, isn't it? It's hard to be there. But God shows us different things through those times. He tests our faith. He sees where we're at. And I was mad. God, why'd you do this? Why did this have to happen? I never understood it. I pulled in that cemetery that afternoon at his funeral, and God spoke to me in a clear, clear voice that said, hey, you better figure it out, and you better figure it out quick. See, I wasn't very happy. I really wasn't visible with joy. But in that moment, in that time, I learned that my joy didn't come from anywhere else but God. Because I had lost a precious soul that would never wake up in my home again, would never walk in that back door. But you know what? He knew who Jesus was. And that's the hope that God showed me. See, God gives us joy. Romans 15 says this, now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God gives us joy. God fills us with joy. So, joy comes from God. So now, why can we be joyful? You look at you look at your circumstances, you go, how can I be joyful in this world? You look at everything going on in the world today, right? Look at all of it. Have you watched the news lately? I don't know if you have. I have just a little bit because I don't like it. You know, I watch it and I see commentary. I look at this and I look at that. And I'm like, wow, how can I be joyful as a Christian in today's world? I want to tell you how. The first thing you can do, you can rejoice that God is king. Rejoice that God is king. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a jubilant cry. For the Lord Most High is awe-inspiring. A great king over all the earth. It is a safe and comforting feeling to know that our God is king. He knows the future, so let's put him in charge. How many times do we not give him everything? We got to give him everything. If you're a Christian, give it all to him. It has to be his. He gave it to you. Why wouldn't you give it back to him? He knows what people are going to do. Do you know that? He knows before it ever happens what you're going to do. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're at. He knows what's happening in your life. He knows every situation. And guess what? He's already going before you today to let people know, get out of my way. There's a Christian coming on Monday. He's a God of love who has controlled righteous anger. And that kind of anger that he rightly punishes the wicked. He does. There's going to be a day in time in history when God comes back. He tells Jesus, come on back, go get your people, come on. And then the tribulation, in my view, that's when it starts. And people are going to begin to be judged. And those people that don't accept Christ at any point in time in their lives, I want to tell you folks, I want to give you the truth. There is a devil's hell and not everybody's going to make it. That's just the truth of the Bible. God is not limited by space. He is everywhere present, fully present at all times. Let's put that God in charge in your life. And when I think about how awesome God is, it pulls my eyes off of myself and puts them on God. How many times do you think of yourself before you think about God? How many times do you think how comfortable it's going to be for me in this situation right now, rather than thinking about what God would have you to do in your life? I can increase my joy by learning about God and who He is. When you learn how awesome someone or something is, it makes you joyful, right? It does me. When I learn something new, I want to go share it with people. Hey, did you know this? And it's not gossip now. You know, we all go to places and we hear the latest news of what's going on. I'm talking about something factual. And you hear something and it's factual. Maybe your friend down the street hadn't heard it yet. Or maybe something's going on in the town. They just passed something at the board meeting. Who knows? The more and more I learn about God, the more happy I get. I'm just telling you, I just get happy when I learn about God. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. He's invincible. He's good. He's loving, holy, powerful. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by space. And He knows everything. He's an awesome God. The more and more I study God, the more excited I get about this life that I live. Because I am not a citizen of this world, even though it says I'm a United States citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I can't wait for it to come back. But while I'm here, I want to spread all I know about who God is. Another way we can experience God, which makes us joyful, is we can rejoice because God is victorious. He's victorious over every problem that you will ever have in your life if you'll just let Him have control. Maybe not victorious like you think it should be, though. I think we get in our minds sometimes that this is the way it needs to happen. This is the way it should go. And okay, if it don't go that way, then God isn't in it. Don't we get that way? I do. Let's be honest. Verses 1 through 3 says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a jubilant cry, for the Lord the Most High is awe-inspiring, a great King over all the earth. He subdues people under us and his nations under our feet. And when they were writing at that time, David was trying to expand his kingdom there. God gives victory to Joshua. We've already mentioned this one time, over Ai and Jericho. And as they entered the promised land, God gives David victory over who? Goliath and the Philistines. And this theme of victory is fascinating to me because it's all throughout the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. When God said it was time to do something, they did it. And guess what happened most of the time? The people complained about what God was doing. My goodness. All they had to do in the wilderness was go pick up some food. And He told them exactly how to do it. And some of them still didn't get it. And then they grumbled about what God was giving them. My goodness. Our God is victorious. One day Jesus will have a final victory at the end. He's going to have the victory at the end. When I look forward to that day, man, it gets me excited. Amen. It does. You know, sometimes I walk around, and I can't walk around right now. And so I encourage you, when you look at the Bible and you see this pattern of victory in God's story, and that victory, you can be a part of that story too. So how else can we increase our joy? By learning God's story. What did God start in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Guess what? Everything that He created, what did He say? It was what? Good. It was good. Everything that God has created is good. So you people are significant to this whole plan that God has. I think we forget that we're significant sometimes. Go into life and understand that you're significant in every circumstance that God puts you in. Learn His story. Understand what He's about. Know God's characteristics. Know what He does. And then the third thing is rejoice that God gives good things. Verse 4 said, He chooses us for our inheritance, the pride of Jacob whom He loves, Selah. Again, we put ourselves in the shoes of that Israelite. Guess what? The Israelites' inheritance was supposed to be what? Canaan, the land, the promised land. And then it says the pride of Jacob, which is the land of Israel. The sons of Korah are thinking about history. You remember when Moses led the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt? Don't we remember that? He wrote the book of Deuteronomy, and he wrote down many, many speeches, and he said, this land is a gift. And he said it over 30 times in the book of Deuteronomy. This land that God has given you is a gift. You don't have to do anything for it. Now, if I tell you today, you think about what your favorite thing in all the world is, okay? And I told you, all you have to do is show up at that certain place at a certain time, and you get it. Would you go? Would you go? I would. I would show up in a minute. Get something free? Yes, sir. I would do it. You know why? Our joy is free. The gift that God gave us was salvation through Jesus Christ. We didn't have to pay for it. We didn't have to do anything for it. And this joy wells up inside you once you accept Christ. You understand what that joy is. But why does Moses say that this land is a gift so many times? He wants to make sure that you remember that it is a gift. And I've noticed that God gives me gifts all the time, and I seem not to recognize them. I get up every morning, and I can stand up, and I can walk. I get up, and I'm able to do certain things. I'm able to breathe. My body hurts a little bit the older I get, right? And I officiate a lot of sports, too. And so I run up and down courts and do a lot of crazy things. I was getting ready. I don't know why I do it, but it gives me an opportunity to interact with today's youth who are in such disarray and confusion about who they are. So sometimes I need God's help and reminders to see his goodness. Have you ever been able to see the constellations? You ever look up at the sky and see the constellations? When I first started looking up at the sky, guess what? I just seen a bunch of dots up there and tried to wonder what they were. But you know, in today's technical world, I'm just going to tell you this. There's an app. There's an app about the constellations. It helps you see the constellations. And guess what? All of a sudden, you can see them all. You see every one of them. There's a scorpion in the sky. There's this little teapot up there. There's a Big Dipper. There's a Little Dipper. There's all these things. And through that app, you can see it. And sometimes through God, we have to pray these things. Psalm 119 and 18 says, open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold the wondrous things of your law. Sometimes we just got to pray that, Lord, I'm going through this problem right now. Help me to understand what you're trying to show me through all this. Here's another one, Psalm 90:14. It says, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Another way to have eyes to see is to ask God, where have you seen God today? You know, on Saturdays during the spring and summer, I cut grass. That's my day unless it rains. And I got a wrought iron chair on the back patio. And Stacy has hung all these hummingbird feeders everywhere on the backyard and on the thing. And they try to kill each other over there. And there's plenty for everybody. You know, we could have 100 and it would be okay. But that's when I see God in his miraculous work of that hummingbird. And looking out and seeing the beauty of the sunrise and the sunsets that I see. Seeing the beauty of his earth. I see that, and it increases my joy that my God cared enough about me to send his precious son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for me. Even if I was the only one, he would have sent him because I was worth it. I was significant enough for him to be here. So the big idea is that experiencing God's awesomeness like the psalmist did, that's what makes us joyful. That we were to rejoice in God, that he is king, and he is the one who is infinite and powerful. And the more we learn about God, the more joy we can have. And just think how awesome he is. We can rejoice that God is victorious. We can learn the story of how undefeated he is and how much victory he has. And last, we can rejoice that God is the one that gives us good things. If only we could have those eyes to see those things sometimes. And so pray that you can see God's awesomeness in your life. I want you to understand today that joy starts with a relationship with Christ. It does. And if you don't have that relationship, seek out one of your elders here. Seek out one of those people that you might need to just have a conversation about. Maybe you've gotten off the beaten path like I did, where I couldn't see a lot of God's awesomeness. But the one thing that always drew me back was that God was good. And he has been so good to me, even when I turned my back on him. You want to have joy? Start with Jesus. Learn. Get into your Bible. Study your Bible. Understand the Bible. Have a great prayer life each and every day. The Bible doesn't tell us everything's going to be okay. And everything in this world will be okay. Because we're still going to have those issues that we have to go through. But if you can give it to God, he's going to handle it like he's already planned to handle it. And that's the joy that we can have in who Christ is. Let's pray. God, help us to see your joy. Help us to see your love. Help us to see all those things that maybe we miss on a daily basis that you're trying to show us. And God, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's open our hymnals to hymn number 448 and sing all three stanzas of the hymn, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Stand if you will.